This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Savings are based on Quicken loans, internal data. Points and fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
You're never away from the game with the Radio.com app.
Download our Radio.com app now and stream us from any smart device. Download it for free today and take us anywhere.
WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1, a Radio.com sports station.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9, the game.
And now, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Sports Flash.
I'm Joe Patrick. Welcome to another College Football Saturday, where we finally have at least one top five team back in action when number 3 Ohio State battles number 9 Indiana at the Horseshoe in Columbus. That game kicks off at noon. Number 4 Clemson was scheduled to play Florida State, but that game has been canceled this morning after the team's medical personnel could not agree on moving forward with the game. Locally, Georgia will be looking to finally bounce back from its disappointing loss to Florida when they play host to Mississippi State tonight at 7:30. Georgia State is on the road to play South Alabama at 3:30. And it's been a big week for the Hawks as GM Travis Schlenk and the front office continue to make adjustments to the roster after drafting Onyeka Okongwu with the 6th selection in the NBA draft on Wednesday. The newly minted NBA rookie said yesterday he's excited about the season ahead.
We have a lot of talent here, you know, led by Trae Young. We have a lot of talent, a lot of young players, you know, with Collins, Herder, Hunter, Capella. You know, we have also Cam Reddish. You know, there's a lot of upcoming promising talent, so I'm able to, you know, get to learn from that, get to work with them. And we're going to be a very good team for this to come.
After drafting Okongwu, the team cleared cap space by trading Dwayne Dedmon and are now on the cusp of signing Danilo Gallinari on a 3-year contract worth $61.5 million, that according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. With updates every 20 minutes, I'm Joe Patrick from the Mobile Kia Studios on your home of Sunday's Falcons game against the Saints. Kickoff at 1, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Football game time.
Escapes and scores!
Keeping you up to date on the world of college football on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yes, I cry. Yes, I cry.
Return of the man. Return of the man.
It's college football game time. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and the Radio.com app. Kicking off our third and final hour. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, John Chuckery. Time for our Max of the Week. This is where we tell you who stood out to us the week prior in college football, as we always do. Let's start with Randy McMichael. Randy, your Max of the Week.
Yeah, guys, don't forget College Football Game Time is brought to you by Dos Equis, the proud sponsor of the 2020 College Football Playoff. Drink Dos Equis, the most interesting beer. My Max of the Week, I can't, you know, Kyle Trask. I mean, this young man has been playing out of his mind. He's my first Mac of the Week. Last week against Arkansas, 23 of 29, 356 yards, 6 touchdowns. He has just entrenched himself into the Heisman Trophy conversation. This guy has been lights out all season long. He's a big reason why they're playing. He was out without his best offensive weapon last week in Kyle Pitts. It didn't matter. I mean, he lit up Arkansas, and I mean, he is just playing at another level. I have not seen quarterback play like that at Florida since Tim Tebow, and it's no wonder that they're contending right now. So Kyle Trask is my first Mac of the week. Second is Marshall quarterback Grant Wells. I know it's against Middle Tennessee State, but, I mean, he's been playing well. And watch out for Marshall, man. Marshall is climbing up the chart, the rankings also. I think they're number 16 right now. But last week he was 25 of 37 for 366 and five touchdowns. And he just continued. He's the one. He's that engine right now, guys. And he is a reason where, you know, Marshall was going to get, you know, continue to make noise as they are so far this year. And Liberty's quarterback. Liberty's 8-0. Malik Willis, he's an Atlanta boy.
Auburn transfer.
Yep. He was 14-19 for 306 yards and three touchdowns. He also had eight rushes for 97 yards and two touchdowns. He's 15 touchdowns and one interception this year. So, I mean, he's been playing lights out since he transferred. Happy for him. Happy that, you know, that that Liberty is making some noise. Not a big Hugh Freeze fan. But you can't deny the man knows how to coach. Every time I just think of Hugh Freeze, I just think about him and that damn hospital bell coaching. But those are my max of the week.
Hey, Randy, you mentioned Marshall. That's a good one, man. I think Marshall is – they are right now – they're not there on a national level like they were when they were winning FCS national championships back in the 90s. But, yeah, I think that program is kind of back to where it was, you know, talent-wise when Jim Donnan, your old coach, was coaching them there, and they had a ton of success at Marshall. Guys, I'm going to go with Randy on the Kyle Trask, the Florida quarterback, 23 out of 29, 356 yards and six touchdowns. I'm going to go a little off the grid for one and go with Tulsa, who had to come from behind last week, scored 14 in the fourth quarter to knock off a top 20 team in SMU, 28-24. Their quarterback, Zach Smith, 26 out of 38, 325 and three touchdowns. And then the wide receiver for them, Keelan Stokes, caught eight passes for 122 yards. And lastly for me, Sam Howell, the quarterback at North Carolina, he had the best performance. Wins, losses, whatever, doesn't matter. He had the best performance of any quarterback last week. 550 yards passing and six touchdowns against Wake Forest. He also had a rushing touchdown last week. So that is my max of the week.
Yeah, Chris, I will piggyback off you. See, it was actually, I think, the game winner, right, was the 20-yard touchdown run that he had. 550 yards, 12.2 yards per attempt in that game, six touchdowns to one interception, 32 of 45, 21 yards, but 20 of them came on that one run. That was the difference in that game. He is one of my Macs of the week. And we brought his name up earlier in the show. But Elijah Moore, 13 catches, 225 yards, two touchdowns, 17.3 yards per reception. And he ran for 45 yards in that game as well. Just a do-everything performance. And my final Mac of the week, Clay Helton. Of course, the head coach of the University of Southern California.
He's living right, fellas.
He's living right, man.
University of Southern California fighting Wendy, Lauren, and Alexis. He has officially become the Gus Malzahn of the Pac-12, where where he finds a way to win. And just when you think he's dead and buried, all of a sudden he comes back. Every time. I mean, every time it's time to move on from Clay Helton, he goes 2-0, and all of a sudden everybody's all excited again about Southern Cal football. So, you know, he's another one of those guys, man, that how he's hanging on is beyond me. But like I said, he's the Gus Malzahn of the Pac-12, finding a way to get it done.
Well, he may be more Lazarus than Gus Malzahn. Yeah. I think that guy's dead every single time, and then here he comes right back. All right, that is a look at our Max of the Week. Guys, let's get into some ACC football now. Thought we were going to be able to talk about Trevor Lawrence being back on the field today. His number four Clemson traveled to Tallahassee. Well, the Clemson players came down at about 8 o'clock this morning to the hotel lobby where they were informed that they would not be playing today. There was a backup offensive lineman at Clemson. If you're just joining us or you haven't heard this story yet, a backup offensive lineman at Clemson had tested positive for the COVID-19 virus, and they decided to, Florida State did, they were not comfortable playing. Pete Thamel, and you can find this on Twitter, @PeteThamel, said that the issue that Florida State medical officials had with Clemson's positive test is that the offensive lineman practiced while symptomatic this week. Mm. He had been testing negative. After he did test positive from the Friday test, there was concern he had been contagious. That would mean other Clemson linemen could potentially have COVID and hadn't tested positive yet. For FSU officials, that was a position group where spread on the field is the biggest concern. Thamel also goes on to say that FSU officials were concerned about the messaging to their own players about health and safety and looking hypocritical. FSU has upheld stringent standards, including not letting players go home for break. Florida State's last positive test was head coach Mike Norvell back in September.
This is getting ugly, by the way, between these two schools.
Yes, it is.
So supposedly they want to look at December 12th as a makeup, and supposedly Clemson offered Sunday and Monday as options to play because, hell, they're already down there. Mm-hmm. And FSU said no. As Tom Cruise said in Cocktail, Coughlin's Law, nothing ends well or it wouldn't end. This is kind of ugly between these two teams and the way this is going right now, Randy.
Well, you know, Mike Norvell basically just came out and said it wasn't his decision. They were ready to go. It was the medical people that made the decision for them. And so, like, it's going to go back and forth all day. We know that. And because, you know, Clemson, they're already down there. They wanted to play, like you said, JC. They did, you know, talk about, you know, moving the game to tomorrow or Monday. And Florida State continuously said no. And now you're going back to a thing where if this young man was sick or showing symptoms or whatever, it's irresponsible to Dabo to let him practice, right? If that's the case, that's all I'm saying.
But he tested negative,
exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So he tested negative all week, showed symptoms. Test came back that he took on Friday positive. So that's why, I mean, the contract trade. I mean, that contract trace is going to eliminate a lot of numbers. We know that as far as the players that are eligible to play because of that right there, they may not be positive or anything, just that. But I mean,
is Mike Norvell trying to deflect when he says, "Oh, well, we were ready to play"?
Yeah, I mean, they just had him on.
I'm looking at he's saying on game day that, well, we were ready to play the game. Doesn't that ring kind of hollow right now? I mean, I don't know. I mean, so let me ask you, if Bobby Bowden in the old days wanted to play, would they have played?
They would have played.
Okay.
Yep. That goes back to what we talk about, the status of the coach.
Right.
You think Nick Saban won't coach in that Georgia game? That was, you know, right. I mean, there's certain things and certain cachets that, because if it was reversed, it would have been, you know, the Clemson going through what Florida State was. I mean, was the team? You think Dabo would have been like, "No, we're gonna play"? You don't think Dabo would have went to that medical office and said, "Hey, go kick rocks. We're going to play"?
Well, the other side of this story, too, is that apparently the ACC was comfortable with them playing the game.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying.
Because the ACC supposedly was okay with it. Clemson was okay with it. Felt like they had met and followed all the proper protocols. And it was Florida State that said, "Wait a minute, we're not comfortable with this."
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that the ACC would let them fly down there if they – I mean, just it's just kind of a wasted – trip and kind of a wasted expense. I mean, to go down there and have done, and especially if you're not going to play the game on Sunday or Monday now at this point.
Let's take a look at some of the other games today around the ACC. Virginia Tech and Pitt. Guys, I haven't seen anything. Have either one of you two heard about whether or not Khalil Herbert is going to play today for Virginia Tech after having that hamstring, I guess, kind of stretched out against Liberty a couple of weeks ago on a kick return? He's been limited. Not sure if he's going to be back today. And for as good as Pitt is on the defensive side, and I do think Pitt is a very good defense, offensively, they are just not very good at all right now. With or without Kenny Pickett, Pitt hadn't been very good on offense.
Well, at least they look good doing it.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about a team that needed a win last week. They'd lost four in a row before beating FSU down there. Both these teams are just as average as could be. You know, Virginia Tech has come close a few times, but, you know, they can't. They could have beat Miami. They could have beat North Carolina. You know, could have, would have, should have, but they
didn't. They let Miami off the hook last week.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, both of these teams are about as average as you could possibly be. I think they're both 4-4, aren't they? They're both 500 on the year. So, nothing really special. Maybe home field advantage for Pitt has a little bit of an advantage. That's about it. There's nothing that's special about either one of these teams right now.
Stick around. We're going to talk some more Georgia football. Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily. He will join us next. You can find him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. You can also find him right here. We're talking Georgia football, dogs in Mississippi State. Kickoff coming up later today. Brandon joins us to break it down next. It's college football game time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
The Game.
College football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is brought to you by ESOG, Engineered Solutions of Georgia, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. It's time for us to head back out on the wait4.com hotline. Welcome in Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily. Brandon, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us as we get set to talk Georgia and Mississippi State. And Brandon, we know it's going to be JT Daniels tonight. What do you expect from JT Daniels at quarterback in his first game in a Georgia uniform?
Well, first of all, before I say that, let me just say I love the way that Randy always gets fired up every time the fight song plays. That's kind of a nice thing to know that after all these years, the tunes, the notes of Glory Glory still gets Randy going. Y'all might need to keep that in mind. If he ever starts energy fading late in the show, just fire up that fight song.
You have no idea, Brandon.
For the rest
of
the show.
No idea.
Oh yeah, BA. I mean, and I need that burst right just then and there because you know when you start that energy level starts going down. Oh yeah, man, that always peps me up, man.
Makes me very happy to hear that. Hopefully, the energy for Georgia will be high tonight as well. As you said, you know, the expectation is that there'll be JT Daniels. ESPN has outright reported that it will be. Other outlets have kind of said the same thing here. And I thought it was also kind of interesting, if you listen to game day this morning, you know, while saying that Daniels is going to start, there was also a little bit of a maybe kind of a dampening of the expectations for how well, you know, he should play, you know, when he does go out there tonight. And I guess I'm probably kind of, you know, buying into that a little bit too. I think that Daniels has a chance to be a good quarterback at Georgia, but I'm also of the belief there has to be some reason that he hasn't been playing up until now, whether it's health related or, you know, a coach's decision, whatever else. I mean, people can debate what the actual reason was. The fact that he's only just now playing at least means something to me. So, therefore, you know, Georgia fans who hope this is the offensive breakout they've been waiting for, they may get some of that tonight. But the honest truth is I don't know if it's going to be quite as satisfying as a lot of Georgia fans hope that it's going to be.
And that's the thing, B, and I was going to get your opinion on this. If he does go out there and play lights out, and, I mean, one reason he might play lights out because it's Mississippi State, and we know they're not a good football team. But we were talking earlier before you came on, and I was curious, what do you think the throw meter will be? Do you think he'll be upwards towards 20 or somewhere around the 15 area?
Yeah, I hope they let him throw a lot. Otherwise, what's the point of any of this? I mean, Georgia, I mean, everybody knows. I don't care if you only halfway pay attention to this stuff. Everybody knows that Georgia can play a little bit of defense and run the ball a little bit and beat Mississippi State, as you said before. Not only are they, a very bad team, I mean, they're not even, you know, coming close to matching the spread in most of the games they've played thus far this season. So you hope that Georgia takes the offense out for a spin a little bit, not just because it's JT Daniels making his debut, but it's also kind of the back half of the season for Todd Monken in his first year as offensive coordinator. So I hope they let him, you know, throw the ball around some. I don't think they'll throw it, you know, 100 times or anything like that. But, you know, I hope they do give him a chance to just kind of show what he's capable of doing. But also, let's see how much the Monken offense has grown over the course of the year. And for a lot of these young Georgia receivers or less than fully experienced Georgia receivers, you know, if you're a Georgia fan, I think you'd say, you know, those guys need to get some experience so that they can be, you know, even more ready for next season. So, you know, from an offensive fine-tuning standpoint, I do think this game really matters for Georgia this evening.
I think maybe Brandon, in some ways, with injuries and just coming off Florida and the whole quarterback situation, maybe not playing was kind of a blessing in disguise last week for Georgia. Just give them a chance to just kind of clear the cobwebs and just kind of get everything back to where they want it.
You may be right about that, John. And, you know, I think in the case of Georgia, I'm not quite sure they saw it that way. I do think they were chomping at the bit and you know, maybe stewing a little bit because of the fact they weren't happy with the way they played against Florida. Maybe it makes them a little bit more fired up and ready to go, you know, right now. I mean, I think there is a little bit of a curiosity to see, does this team still want to be a part of this season? We see lots of examples of teams across college football that apparently they may not want to. They may be about done, you know, guys thinking about their next phase or just thinking about next year. Georgia at least seems to be saying all the right things, but they aren't that way. They are eager to play for pride and you know, whatever else is kind of on the line here. So we'll find out. You know, defensively speaking, Georgia, which has really looked bad in its last two really big games, you know, there should be no reason why the Mississippi State offense, if this Georgia defense is locked in tonight, there should be no reason why the Mississippi State offense moves the football at all. Because since LSU, they really haven't done that whatsoever. Even the one win they had a couple of weeks ago against Vanderbilt, I think they had fewer than 200 yards of total offense there that day. So this is at least some measuring stick for how focused Georgia really is, how much they really want to play out the remaining, you know, level of these games. Because if the Georgia defense is ready to show up and ready to play, it ought to be, you know, something pretty close to a shutout on the Mississippi State side, because that offense right now is terrible.
Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily with us here on College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brandon, in light of the what we think will be a quarterback change for Georgia, do you feel like the off week came at a good time for the Dogs, the unexpected bye they got last week?
Well, I will tell you, the difference in opponent matters here a bit, because while I can go through and tell you things you already know about the Mississippi State team not being very good and the Mississippi State offense not, you know, quite being, you know, very good this season, defensively they really haven't been that bad. I had Dave Neal on my show this week, who's going to call the game for the SEC Network. He was talking about that, and I think you look at the numbers, you do see some of that. They are second in the SEC in passing yards allowed per game. They're third in the SEC in yards per attempt, or I should say yards per play allowed so far this season. So when it comes to being a little bit of a stingy defense, you don't think of Mike Leach teams being that way, but the Mississippi State defense has been way better than the offense. I mean, you think about all the reasons why the Maroon Bulldogs have only won two games this season. You can't blame the defense for that. So the one thing with the layoff is that Georgia is playing a better defense today than it would have been had Daniels made his debut on the road last week at Missouri. So when you're trying to figure out how well he's going to play, I do think you have to factor in the fact that, you know, Mississippi State playing a 3-3-5, a little bit of an unusual defensive alignment, you know, kind of creative about how they bring some pressures. I mean, you know, there is a way in which that can actually be a little bit of a challenge for Daniels today. So that's probably worth paying attention to.
Hey, two things, B.A. Monk and Coach Monk, only way he would not be the offensive coordinator next year is if he gets another job. That's one. And then Will Muschamp and Bobo, do we bring them all home?
Well, listen, first of all, on the Munkin part of this, I think you're absolutely right about that. For as bad as Georgia's been offensively, I really don't get a sense that Munkin's shouldering the blame for this very much. Now, I do think he's an upwardly mobile guy, and I'm sure he's looking for a chance to be a play caller in the NFL again or a head coach in college again, things that he's been before. But on the basis of this year, I'm not quite sure how much ammunition he has to argue for one of those jobs. So my guess is that Todd Munkin's back again next year, and certainly there's no pressure on him from a Georgia standpoint of being pushed out the way that James Coley probably was last season. As far as Muschamp and Bobo go, you know, I think they're both really good coaches. I will say the last time that Will Muschamp was a defensive coordinator, it was not a very successful season at Auburn before he went to South Carolina as head coach. They were barely in the top 100 that year. So I think that for Muschamp, I'm not quite so sure he's the golden hire as a defensive coordinator right now, the way that some people think that he might be. Bobo's case, I do think he's a good offensive coordinator. I know that's controversial with some Georgia fans. They don't all agree with that, but I do think that Bobo's a pretty sharp offensive mind. But honestly, I'm not quite so sure what his willingness to come back to Georgia is right now, given the fact that maybe he had a chance to this past season and, you know, somehow, some way ended up somewhere else. I also don't know that there's currently room for him on the current coaching staff either. So if I had to guess, Bobo and Muschamp are both assistants somewhere at a high-profile level. I don't think either guy is back at Georgia. I think there's still a chance that Bobo remains offensive coordinator at South Carolina for a number of reasons.
Brandon, we were talking earlier in the show, never too early to start bowl predictions, and I thought some of the ones that I've seen are pretty fun. Several of them that have the idea of Georgia and Cincinnati here in Atlanta in the Peach Bowl. How intriguing of a matchup. I think it's a fantastic matchup. Not where Georgia, I know, wants to be, but at the same time, that to me would be a fun matchup to see how they stack against one of the better defenses in the country.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would probably say that because, as you said, you know, what Luke Fickell's done there has been, you know, really pretty impressive. I think for a lot of Georgia fans, there's the thought of, as you said, you know, expectations at the beginning of the season of who you might be playing in a bowl game, a group of five opponents, probably not, you know, the first name that comes to mind there. But listen, if you know, Georgia has fallen as far as it has in terms of where it started the preseason, if the landing spot ends up being a New Year's Six type bowl at the end of the season, even if it's just against an American Athletic Conference type team when it's all said and done, I guess if that's as bad as it gets, it's not that bad for UGA fans, but certainly more along the lines of a big time Power Five, name brand type of team. When Georgia thought it'd be playing in the postseason, I'm sure a lot of Georgia fans were hoping it'd be more a team like that they'd get a chance to see play. But listen, that's not to say that if Georgia did match up against the Bearcats, certainly Cincinnati would have a very good chance of winning that game because of the stuff they've been, doing all season long.
Talking Georgia football with Brandon Adams this morning. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Dog Nation Daily. Brandon, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us as we talk Georgia and Mississippi State. Let me ask you about Mississippi State today, Brandon. The fact that they're playing with low numbers. You've already talked about how this team has struggled. What do you think the impact is of Mississippi State coming into this game today with quite possibly less than 50 active players?
Well, first of all, I think Mississippi State deserves a lot of credit for this. As I said before, there's a lot of examples around college football of games that maybe could have been played that haven't been played. And, no one wants to dig too deep to find out why not. But in a year in which I think everyone's working as hard as they can to get the games on the field, the teams that are willing to try to find a way to say yes as opposed to a reason to say no deserve some credit, Mississippi State included here. Now, obviously, a lot of these players they're without are maybe because of their own doing. It seems like Mike Leach had a hard time forming relationships with current players, which is probably a problem for them to deal with during the offseason. But at least they're showing up and playing today. In terms of how much it impacts the game and the point spread, Georgia's 25-point favorite, I guess I'm not 100% sure about that. One of the opt-outs this week was Nathan Pickering, a defensive lineman, a guy that had a couple of sacks. So some of the players that won't be playing, or at least guys who've contributed, I don't know that it changes the outcome of the game necessarily, even the margin of victory, just given the fact that they're playing with fewer players. But they are clearly making a decision that not every program would make, and the SEC needs these games to happen. So good for Mississippi State for finding a way to do it.
The last one, B.A., we got about Tuesday. How important is it for Georgia to look good today?
I think it's really important. I think you see the teams that are playing the best, most likely win the national championships, they're the teams that are fun to watch. And Georgia being fun to watch today, I think, could be a little bit of an on-ramp to a better success in 2021.
Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily. Brandon, appreciate it, man.
Appreciate
hey, real
it,
quick.
Thanks,
real quick before you get out of here, do we see the black jerseys tonight from Georgia?
I think we will see black jerseys from Georgia, and I'll see everybody on our Dog Nation post-game show after the game on all the Dog Nation video channels with myself and Terrence Edwards, the former Georgia wide receiver.
All right, B.A.
Thank you, Brandon. Brandon Adams, Dog
Good
Nation
job, guys.
Daily.
Appreciate it.
Check him out. Again, you can download the podcast. It's available wherever you download your podcast from, Dog Nation Daily. We'll give you three winners, maybe, and hopefully a couple of upset specials today. We'll get to our picks and wrap it up here on College Football Game Time. That's next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
College Football Game Time is on with your hosts Chris Kilforth, John Chuckery, and Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah!
It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Radio.com app. It is that time. We do it every week. We give you three winners and an upset special. So we'll get to some predictions for this week. But guys, before we do that, as we always do, we have to take a look back at last week and see how we did. So let's hop into it right now. This was last week here on College Football Game Time. Here's how I did a week ago.
Guys, I like Miami on the road over Virginia Tech. We will not see a repeat today of 1993. Notre Dame beats Boston College at BC today. Wisconsin over Michigan. And my upset special, Michigan State, a 7.5-point road dog, knocks off Indiana.
Did they score in that game?
Is there a team that looks worse week to week? I mean,
no.
They're
so bad.
Oh, my God.
They are so bad.
Come
I'll
on,
take
Mel.
I'll tell you what, though. After the last 2 weeks, I'll take a 3-1 week last week with as bad as I had been the two previous weeks.
By the way, very quickly, Michigan State has scored 61 points in four games and given up 135.
Wow.
Come on, Mel.
They've been outscored 2-1 this year.
Come on, Mel.
Let's hear how Randy McMichael did last week here on College Football Game Time.
I'm taking Indiana to beat Michigan State today. I do like Miami to beat Virginia Tech. Wisconsin will thrash Michigan today.
Yes.
And Chris, for my upset special, I think history repeats itself. I'm going Boston College to upset Notre Dame today.
Yeah. By the way, Michigan scored 11 points.
What's the 11.
Betting? Yeah, what's the betting odds that you can get to 11 in a football game?
They got 11 points. That was it. Yeah, they scored 11 points.
But, I mean, how many times in the history of football has a team scored 11 points? Like, that's 3 field goals and a safety. Like, how do you – that's not an easy road to go down to be able to try to just get to 11.
They look so bad. I mean, that's all I can say. They look horrible.
That's a great hand in Baccarat, but I mean, it's just not going to be any good in football, though.
They looked awful.
Yeah, if it's a James Bond movie, you want that number. But I mean, you know, it's not good on the football field, man. It's amazing where Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan are right now in the pecking order of the Big Ten. I mean, it's hard to believe where those programs are.
Let's see how John Chuckery did last week here on College Football Game Time.
Let's start out west with the fighting Wendy, Lauren, and Alexis of Southern Cal over Arizona today. I like Wisconsin today over Michigan. I'll take Miami going into Virginia Tech as well. And for my upset special of the week, I am going to take the fighting Dolph Lundgrens.
He does.
I'm going to take Washington State to pull the upset off over Oregon tonight.
Well, we all had a good week. I mean, outside of our upset special.
Yeah, I mean,
it was
considering the last couple of weeks. I mean, anything.
All right, here we go. We got to get back. We got to get back with a couple of upset specials this week. So, let's go, guys. I'll lead things off. My picks this week. I like Ohio State over Indiana today. Buckeyes aren't losing this game at home. That's not happening. I like Penn State today to get back in the win column at home, beating Iowa today. And I like Oklahoma also at home today to beat Oklahoma State. I still think Oklahoma is the best team in the Big 12. And for my upset special today, Northwestern, a 7.5-point dog at home. I like home teams today. Northwestern, a 7.5-point dog today. I like them to beat Wisconsin.
That's pretty good right there, man. I'm also going to take Ohio State over Indiana. Just saw that the starting left side of Indiana's line is questionable, so that might not be good today. I'm going to take Auburn over Tennessee. Tennessee, I don't know what to say, but I'm going to take Auburn today over Tennessee. I think Auburn rolls Tennessee, matter of fact. I'm going to take Cincy over UCF, and I think that's going to be a really good – it's a 5-point game right now. I think that this is the best offense – no, it's not the best offense. It's one of the best offenses in America, and Cincinnati is one of the best defenses, but I still think Cincinnati finds a way to get that win. And for my upset special, we teased it earlier. I'm gonna go ahead and go with the mullet today. I'm gonna give him a try. I've never picked Oklahoma State, and so I don't know why I'm doing it today. I wanted to take the Northwestern game like you, Chris, but I'm gonna take Oklahoma State because you said it earlier in the show. If not now, when? If not now, when? When is Oklahoma State gonna beat Oklahoma? So go Pokes.
All right, I will go Ohio State over Indiana as well today. Chris, I'm with you. It's not my upset special, but I will take Northwestern over Wisconsin as well. Randy, I'm with you. I think Auburn takes care of Tennessee. How about this one, Chris? Tennessee, the first 2 weeks of the year when they were 2-0, scored 66 points total in their two games. They've only scored 58 points in 4 games since then. I don't know what's going on up there. I can't imagine that people are real happy with the way that this team has looked for the last. And, by the way, they weren't competitive against Arkansas and Kentucky. Roll that around in your head at times about how they're barely hanging on to play against Kentucky and Arkansas right now. So I like Auburn as well. And for my upset special of the week, I am taking – my group, The Fighting Garth Brooks.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots. Ruined your black tie.
Is this the actual version of it? This sounds like a karaoke.
Last one to know.
Wow. All right.
I'm Garth Unplugged.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sounds like before they put his voice through the track machine or something. I'm taking Oklahoma State as well. They're going to make Bedlam out of all of it. And I'm telling you, Texas and Oklahoma are both going to get left out of the Big 12 championship game. And how excited do you think Bob Bowlesby is about the idea of Oklahoma State, Kansas State possibly, or Oklahoma State, Iowa State for the Big 12 championship game when all is said and done?
He ain't liking that. He ain't liking that one bit.
Nope.
Yeah, he ain't liking that. He's not liking that one bit. Because, I mean, I'm gonna ride with the Pokes, man. Now, with that being said, watch Oklahoma beat them by 14 touchdowns.
I mean, again, everything honestly is, even though Oklahoma is the favorite, I mean, it points toward Oklahoma rolling in this game the way that normally do. I mean,
yeah. I mean, what's to tell us nothing other than the upset special? We wanted to make a hot take, but I mean, if not, like Chris said, what'd you say? If not now, when? When can they beat them? I mean, this is not the best Oklahoma team that Gundy has faced. So, I mean, if not now, when?
Hey, quick thought here. As we're wrapping things up, but had a discussion this week with Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports covering the NFL, and we were talking about, because I think the Arizona Cardinals are maybe the most improved team. Miami's in there too, but Arizona really looks like a much better football team. And we've talked about college coaches going to the NFL. Do you think – I think the NFL will be more open because, you know, Matt Rhule, Cliff Kingsbury, it's a copycat league. You start saying, okay, what they're doing, we have to go after it. Do you think college coaches, guys, are even more inclined to want to go to the NFL because of the way the pandemic has played out in college football, that it just doesn't seem like college football can necessarily get it together, that – you know, if there was a time to go to the NFL with the way kind of college football has handled these last few weeks, I think guys are more open to that idea than they normally would be.
I do. And one reason is because, you know, the ultimate goal is to be, if you're a coach, the ultimate goal is to be at the professional level of whatever sports you coach. So I think it is. And I think you're going to see more, Cliff Kingsbury. Like, if you're talking about the young head coach going to the NFL, I can see a lot of those young offensive-minded guys going into the NFL right now, because that's where it is right now. That's why when we talk about, you know, these vacancies that are coming up for, in the NFL and also in college football, how many people are going to be calling Joe Brady? I mean, I know Carolina's offense isn't explosive, but, I mean, how much cred does he have because of the LSU year? I mean, he's a guy that's going to get some looks.
Well, and not only that, but they've played most of the year without Christian McCaffrey, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and they've still stayed competitive without him. And he's
– and that says a lot about Matt Rhule as a head coach, too.
Right.
At the end of the day, guys, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the game at the NFL level has changed so much.
Has.
I mean, Randy, the game they play today in the NFL is much different than the one that you played in.
Yeah, because it was all about
– yeah, you haven't been retired. It's not like, you know, you're Otto Graham or somebody. I mean,
it's all about speed now. It's all about speed and stretching the field. Before, it was just you had to be big and fast. Now all you got to do is be fast. They will compensate for a smaller player nowadays if he's fast. Because remember, my coach told me this a long time ago, you can't be small and slow. You know, you can't be small and slow. I can't do nothing with a small, slow guy. And so when you look at how these and then it also goes back to the high school ranks. I mean, this is what the players are doing nowadays, especially offensively. You got linemen that have never been in a dang on 3-point stands from their seventh grade year until they leave college. You know, so I mean, this is what is being handed to the pros. So why not get these guys that you don't have to teach these offenses? These guys run these offenses.
Yeah, no, I think as much as anything, that has to do with what we're seeing both on the field. I think it has to do with what we're seeing from coaching. I think more and more, we're going to see more and more college guys make that move to the NFL, maybe more so than what we have ever seen before. Now, whether or not they can have that, sustained success, who knows? I guess that's still to be determined. We'll see how it works out going forward. You always want to point back to the Steve Spurrier thing and Spurrier kind of, you know, didn't have a good experience in the NFL. We'll see how things look. You know, it's been a little different for Pete Carroll now, but we'll see how it looks for those guys going forward. But that's the way I see it. I just see the game has changed. The pro game now looks a lot more like the college game than it did 15 years ago. Looks more like it than it did 20 years ago. Hell, it looks more like the high school game today than it's ever looked, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's what everybody's running. Everybody wants to, that, you know, and then it's all about when you talk about the young offense, it's all about your staff, man. It's like, because did Cliff Kingsbury bring a whole bunch of his coaches from Texas Tech? No. He brought, you know, they found a way to match him up with the veteran defensive coordinator and Vance Joseph, who's had head coaching experience, and now he's just figuring his way out through this thing. But as long as his offense is working, I mean, you'll make up for it, because it's all about the offenses now. We've been saying this the last couple of weeks about college football. It's good to have a good defense, but you need an offense to win national championships.
Quickly, too, is there anything surprising we're going to see Tuesday when the first poll comes out?
I don't think so.
I don't either. I think it'll be pretty close to. Yeah. I think it'll be pretty close to what we.
I mean, the top four is easy. I mean, that's. I mean, it's a real easy. Who's the top four right now?
It's going to do it for us this week here on College Football Game Time. Back with you again next Saturday, 9 until noon. Until then, enjoy this Saturday of college football. We'll see you next week. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.